WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Texas, President Trump and the First Lady holding a briefing after getting a tour of the destruction from last week's flash flooding. More than 160 still missing, the president thanking crews working around the clock.
The people here, first responders, the sheriff's office, all of the police, law enforcement, they've done an unbelievable job.
First Lady Melania Trump offering condolences after the 121 deaths.
My deepest sympathy to all of the parents who lost beautiful young souls. Deepest sympathy from all of us.
Layoff notices have gone out from the State Department informing nearly 1,100 civil service workers and 240 foreign service officers that they've been fired. It comes after the Supreme Court allowed President Trump to implement his executive order to restructure federal agencies. And a wildfire burning near the Grand Canyon has closed the North Rim location, and extreme heat is leading to evacuations. This is ABC News.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A recent United Way study found 1 in 3 Wisconsin families are struggling to afford basic expenses. According to the study, about 24% of Wisconsin households are identified as Alice families by the organization, meaning asset limited, income constrained, and employed. The designation covers families with enough income to remain above the federal poverty line but are unable to afford basic needs like housing, childcare, and transportation. The study also found the number of Alice families in the state has grown by about 12% since 2010. A coalition of e-cigarette distributors have filed a federal lawsuit against the state of Wisconsin over a law passed in 2023. The law officially went into effect on July 1st and imposes fines on organizations that make and sell products that are not authorized by the Food and Drug Administration. The lawsuit argues that the law violates the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, which gives the federal government the authority to regulate drug safety. The coalition is seeking a preliminary injunction to prevent the law from taking effect as the case moves forward. The Spooner City Council considered treatment options for the invasive emerald ash borer at their meeting on Tuesday. The invasive insect has now spread across the state, reaching the last few uninfected counties in the northwest Wisconsin region last year. City officials say there are about 130 ash trees in public areas, but they have not been infested with the invasive insect yet. The city council plans to gather more information about potential options and side effects before informing residents as to what treatment plan they will put in place. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is warning residents in the Superior area of construction work on U.S. Highway 53 beginning on Monday. Construction work is scheduled to take place in the area of 2nd Avenue East and Hewitt Avenue. The highway will remain mostly open to traffic during construction, with some single-lane closures at times. Additional work on the Blatnick Bridge reconstruction project will also force some short-term ramp closures on the highway, which will require residents to take a detour route around the ramps. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
It's back to work for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight in Milwaukee, where the Brewers open a 3-game weekend series against the Nationals. At 50 wins and 43 losses, the Brewers in second place in the NL Central, just 2 games behind the first place Cubs. The Brewers coming off that 3-game sweep of the Dodgers. Now with Freddie Peralta scheduled to pitch this Sunday, closer Trevor McGill will represent the team in the All-Star game next week.
Sweep the Dodgers at home, that's give the fans what they want, right? That was awesome. Glad to be a part of that, and then also with the news as well. Like, that's just some goal that I put out in the offseason. Here it is coming true.
The Nationals are in last place in the NL East, 16 games behind the Phillies. They fired their manager, Dave Martinez, and GM Mike Rizzo earlier in the week. Miguel Cairo named interim manager. Basketball, NBA Summer League action underway in Nevada. The Bucks with a 90-89 win over the Denver Nuggets last night. Jamari Bouye with a 3-pointer at the buzzer. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Showers and some thunderstorms possible this afternoon and throughout this evening. It may pack some gusty winds and heavy downpours, which could create flash flooding. Around 1/2 inch of rain is likely, but up to a couple of inches is possible. Highs today and tomorrow flirt with 80 degrees and soar to the mid-80s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app, Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll be back from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair and the world headquarters of Madison, taking a look at the weekend headlines and looking ahead to our next road trip with Jane Matinere. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
It is this moment right now, and we need people that have wealth and access to step the hell up.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
Stand back. We can't take this as a country to have a leader who is so ill-informed, and we look terrible.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
You got a bad sandwich at your favorite deli. What do you do about it? We can talk about whatever you want to sound off on.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody, and happy Friday. We have arrived yet another week in the books. We're going to talk about some of the national news to start off the show today with my special guest co-host, who's going to be more of an interviewee today, given that he worked in federal law enforcement for a very long time. It's, of course, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, Jim Santel, host of the amazing show, Amicus, a Law Review, that you can find across the Civic Media Radio Network on Saturdays from 9 to 11. At the top of the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to be joined by my Civic Media colleague, Gray Gunderson, for this week's installment of Your Neck of the Woods. We're going to ask Gray what folks in his neck of the woods have been saying about the state's biennial budget and about the big, brutal bill. And we'll also do some fun stuff that isn't politics with Gray at 5 o'clock. And don't worry, we've got Ask Maggie for you at 5:30. And Terry Barr is going to be joining us to close out the show for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin this week. So we got a stacked show for you. Let's get right into it. And again, folks, we're going to have, it is Free Ticket Friday. We are back in the saddle with Free Ticket Friday after the July 4th weekend. We're going to have some tickets to give away to a very special baseball game. You're going to want to stay tuned. I'm going to be dropping that word to win before this hour is up. I may even do it in this very segment, but you're going to want to stay tuned because, yes, it is Free Ticket Friday in this, the 4 o'clock hour. These are tickets for the July 13th game. That's this weekend versus the Washington Nationals. I'm going to be going to the game against the Nationals tonight. Of course, the Brewers only two games back behind those dastardly Chicago Cubs, who will be teeing off against the New York Yankees tonight. Folks, by Sunday, if things break correctly, the Brewers could technically be tied or leading the division. So this is a great game for you to win some free tickets for. Again, it's going to be tickets for the Brewers versus the Nationals this Sunday, July 13th. That's a 1:10 start. So get that Civic Media app downloaded. Get your thumbs ready to type in the word to win via that app. You're going to text that in via the app. And again, you're going to be qualified to win those tickets for this weekend, Sunday game at 1:10 here at AmFan Field in Milwaukee. But Jim, big, big news. Some, I'm going to call it pretty groundbreaking reporting by Adam Goldman from the New York Times, that apparently the FBI, under the direction of Director Cash Patel and Deputy FBI Director Dan Bongino, has been loyalty testing very senior FBI officials across all field offices. And there's 55 field offices across the country. Now, we know that they've been generally loyalty testing people and asking folks questions about their support of Donald Trump and his administration. We know that they've pushed out prosecutors that were involved in the January 6th prosecutions. We know that a lot of people have resigned and left. But this is new. This is not a polygraph for the purposes of ensuring that people are loyal to our country for purposes of security clearances, top secret and eyes only, et cetera, those sorts of security clearances. No. These aren't polygraphs designed to do that. These are polygraphs where they're asking people if they've ever said anything negative about either Director Patel or Deputy Director Bongino. They're asking people if they've made fun of them. Things like that, which, Jim, is so ridiculously unusual, outrageous, and a complete misuse of law enforcement assets. You want to talk about fraud, waste, and abuse?
Yes, like this, there it is.
This would pop to mind.
All right.
You worked with the FBI. Those are the police officers, mm-hmm. if you will, to your analogy as a prosecutor. Most people think of the cops and the district attorneys. Well, the FBI is the version of the cops on the federal level, and the DA version on the federal level was what you did, Jim, as an as a U.S. attorney. So you've worked with FBI agents for a long time. How unusual is this?
All those words and more, my friend Maggie. And again, adjectives fail me. Let's begin with one of those things that you identified. Polygraphs. All right. They've got some limited purposes for investigative reasons. If you really want to assess the accuracy and the integrity, if you will, of a cooperating witness, if there's something you want to confirm. It's also to be noted along the way, drop a footnote here, that polygraphs can also be overcome, and they're not the perfect design, right, for determining whether somebody is telling the truth or not. But the principal point here is not for this purpose, ever inside law enforcement. It's got its place, not for this. What are we doing here that we're now decided that we're going to reach out to all the special agents in charge and other leadership around the nation? And again, as you said, determine what kinds of things have you said about the director? To what governmental purpose is any of that designed? Where are we going with it? Well, presumably we're going with this to fire them, presumably, or put them administrative leave. We are literally, to use my president's term, this is now the witch hunt, right? And we are
yes.
confident. We are confident that we've got people out there who are not fully supportive of every last thing that the director says, and will not bring to the table. Frankly, this is usually a good thing, right? Let's bring some discussion about opposing views. That's a good thing inside of law enforcement. We don't want any of that. We're going to ferret that out. We're going to find out who you are, what you've been doing. And the American people should be asking not only a bad use of investigative resources, but time resources. What are we doing here in terms of advancing the safety and security of the American population? Nothing at all. It is shocking. And again, I wish desperately that we had a Congress that could do some oversight on this. And one day maybe we'll
Jim,
get that
hilarious.
Back. This is the kind of thing that should have members of Congress from both sides of the parties have with their hair on fire. It will not do that. But the American public should be shocked and outraged that your FBI, responsible for keeping us safe and secure, is doing this kind of thing.
Folks, that is Jim Santel, host of Amicus from 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jim, of course, speaks of direct personal knowledge. He worked with the FBI, with agents on the ground every day while he was the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. The man knows of what he speaks. And Jim, as I understand it from, again, this is reporting today from, first published late yesterday by the New York Times, the article written by Adam Goldman. My understanding is not just, hey, do you disagree with X, Y, and Z policy? This is, have you made fun of mm-hmm. these people? Have you effectively talked smack? And here's what I find absolutely ludicrous about this. For every single year of the Biden administration, and dating back to the first Trump administration, neither Mr. Patel nor Mr. Bongino were involved with the FBI. In other words, they weren't employed by the FBI at that time. And throughout these past 8+ years, in various ways, shapes, and form, especially Mr. Bongino on his podcast, but Mr. Patel in other mediums as well, in a book that he published, literally have been attacking the FBI, saying that the entire department needs to be shut down. Mr. Bongino has argued on his podcast that every single person that works for the FBI should be fired and replaced, its duties absorbed by other federal departments. And so, Jim, it is utterly stupid for these two guys to be, I don't know, surprised that people that work in this agency that they've derided for nearly a decade, that they've impugned the integrity of every single one of their coworkers for nearly a decade, might have some negative things to say about them. Of course people will, you dolts. Right. And that's not a talking crap about your boss is not a crime. Right. It's not even a fireable offense. Right. There's no FBI policy about this. There's no cultural norm, because let's be honest. And in fact, the very last line in Mr. Goldman's piece in the New York Times today is this: who hasn't complained about their boss? Right. One former FBI official mused. You and I have led departments.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know the people that work for
my
me
goodness.
Talk smack about me. Right. There's some things not to like, I would think, right, about me as a boss. I didn't think people were unfit to do their jobs, because they might not personally like me, because they might make fun of me, or mostly because they might disagree with a decision that I've made. I certainly wouldn't seek to fire someone or submit them to a polygraph to ensure their personal loyalty to me.
To discover whether or not you passed around any memes that make fun of Jim Santel or Maggie Dawn, that sort of thing, right? Right. Again, this reflects so badly on the department and Kash Patel and Bongino. In that context, again, they've plainly never been in a supervisory position like this, where you want to encourage people, maybe not to send around things that are while we're working and diverting you from your work. But you want to have people who look at you and from time to time do, in fact, say, you know what, Jim, I think you're wrong about that. Let's talk through it. That is a healthy environment. They understand nothing about that. To your first point, absolutely. We have got, and let me get on my soapbox about the wonderful nature of the great majority. I'm talking 99% of FBI agents and, frankly, federal employees generally. Are those folks out there who probably should go from time? Sure, there are. But the great majority of them are civil servants. They wake up every morning. They go into work to do our work as representatives of the government and in service to America. They are committed to their jobs. Every single FBI agent could make a whole lot more money in the private sector. You know this,
no
right?
No kidding.
Right?
Yes.
They could be doing all kinds of things. They're there because they took an oath to the Constitution, to all of us, candidly, to do this work because they want to be there and they want to make this work well. They want to be successful. The notion, again, that for the past decade, they have been on the receiving end of this endless criticism saying they're all incompetent, they're all corrupt, they all need to go. Of course they're going to respond badly to that, because number one, it's not true. Number two, it derides their integrity and suggests that everything that they're about is wrong. And frankly, you don't need to do polygraph tests. You know it's happened because of what they, that is Bongino and Kash Patel, have prompted, what they have basically asked for. Let's get on with the work of the FBI and do some real serious work here instead of spending resources and time tracking down these folks who certainly have been critical. No problem with that at all, right?
855-752-4842. What do you think of all this? What do you make of this? 855-75-CIVIC. And I am loath to make this connection, but I'm going to do it anyways. Apparently, Dan Bongino didn't show up for work today, took a personal day after the story dropped yesterday. And we know that the entire MAGAverse is basically losing its freaking mind over the Epstein files and Pam Bondi and apparently Kash Patel saying, oh yeah, nothing to see here, folks. And in fact, Todd Blanche, who was one of Donald Trump's former criminal defense attorneys, has said, oh yeah, Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, they're on board with what Bondi's saying. There's nothing to see here. We're going to talk about that connection and the upset, the resignations, and maybe one more resignation that's being broken just this hour by CNN. Keep it locked. Jim and I continue this discussion and take your calls on the other side. 855-752-4842. The implosion at the FBI. Can the FBI keep America safe? Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Hear every Brewer game all season long right here on WBZH.
Swing and a bouncer hit the third. Double play ball. Ortiz for Terang for one. The first to double play.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH. The Buzz of the North.
Swing and a fly ball. Right center field. It is up. It is good. Off the top of the wall and out of here.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH. The Buzz of the North.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a three-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbro, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026, for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wbzh.fm/contest-terms. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Sadly appropriate bit of introduction music.
Carly Simon's got it just right on a Friday afternoon, Maggie.
She does. Folks, welcome back. Happy Friday afternoon to you and yours. My name's Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got a great guest co-host with me for the first hour. He is a former federal prosecutor, has led a team of federal prosecutors as the former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. And of course, in that capacity, he works with the FBI. So we've kicked off this show by talking about some groundbreaking reporting coming out of the New York Times late last night, saying that the FBI, under the leadership of Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, footnote on that, we'll be back to that in just a moment, led by Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, are now submitting all sorts of senior FBI officials across the country to polygraphs, not to ensure their loyalty to the country, that they're not selling secrets, that they're not tanking otherwise valid prosecutions. No. They're putting people on the box to see if people have made fun of them, if they've talked smack. It's absolutely ludicrous. Every single person on the planet has talked some crap about their bosses before. I've been a boss. I didn't hold it against people because bosses do stuff that folks don't like. And these two bosses in particular have spent, on the record, nearly the last decade deriding every single employee of the FBI. So the idea that people might criticize you when you're then appointed to lead said organization shouldn't be neither surprising nor require polygraphs. How thin is their skin? How petty is their temperament? How completely lost are they as to the actual mission of the FBI to keep America safe, to investigate crimes? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. There's breaking reporting this hour from CNN that Dan Bongino is seriously considering resigning, basically over the clash between Pam Bondi's DOJ and apparently the FBI over their handling of the Epstein files, which was a subject of frequent discussion on Dan Bongino's completely unhinged podcast for years before he became the deputy director of the FBI. Now, what I find interesting is that Laura Loomer actually broke that news yesterday. And this morning again, Laura Loomer is this right-wing conspiracy nut job that apparently holds great sway in the White House. Yeah, she was the one who first put out on X that Bongino was considering resigning. He no-showed for work today. It's all so weird, Jim. And the thing that I want to say, and then we're going to go to the phones. I see you, David, from San Francisco, and Jeannie from Eau Claire. If you want to get your two cents in, 855-752-4842. It's not only so weird, immature, but people are resigning. According to the report by Adam Goldman in the New York Times published late last night, he's been tracking, before Trump took office on January 20th, he put together a spreadsheet of every key leader in every single FBI field office, all 55 of them across the country. And by Adam Goldman's count, 40% of these people have resigned or been forced out. That trend is accelerating. And so, Jim, when I think about that, that leaves me very scared, I guess would be a word, because all of that brain drain, all of that lost knowledge, even generously, let's say a quarter of these senior FBI leaders, which is completely ridiculous, but let's say 25% of them should have gone, which is ridiculous, and I don't support that at all. But even that is an incredibly, I don't know, aggressive assumption, means that we've got hundreds and hundreds of years of dedicated law enforcement experience that just walked out the door because Cash Patel can't handle the fact that people who work for him might have a thing or two negative to say about this guy. Is this placing America at risk? What national security business, what anti-terrorism activities aren't being tended to when 40% of the FBI senior field office leadership walks out the door?
And here's how the FBI works, to your good point, Maggie. When you have new FBI agents, they're called special agents, obviously. You got a special agent in charge who's responsible for the overall unit here in Wisconsin, other places. You bring them along. Typically, they've been in law enforcement before, but they're new to the FBI. And so who do you rely on to give them the training? It's the senior people who have been there. Yes, early on, they also did the interviews. They did the search warrants. They did the examinations of telephones. They've been on the stand in evidentiary hearings, all appeared before the grand jury. They've got this huge amount of corporate knowledge with a small C. And what do they do every single day? They have their junior FBI agents with them, showing them the ropes, making sure that they, too, are brought along in a way that is what is consistent with the Constitution, with the laws, which in the way that you do in fact want to have law enforcement done in America. They walk out and you've got new people, middle term people, and where is their mooring? Where is the, and again, they will then be making this up. I'm not being critical of those folks who stay, but just you're losing that huge amount of academic, yes, but also practical experience. Are we less safe and secure? Yes. And when stupid mistakes are made, maybe not out of intention, but nonetheless mistakes made by virtue of the fact you just don't know, then we attribute it to this kind of thing. And that is attributable once again to the top. When you're sending that message that we want people to be gone, they will leave.
And I would like to say that a boss should welcome disagreement.
Yes.
That's how the best possible decisions get made. We're going to take your calls and continue this great discussion on the other side. The word to win for this free ticket Friday that you're going to want to text in right now via the Civic Media app is GAME, G-A-M-E. That'll qualify you to win some tickets to the July 13th 110 Brewers game against the National. That word to win is GAME, G-A-M-E. Stay with us. We'll be taking your calls on the other side right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Months after the completion of the most expensive state Supreme Court race in American history, Judge Chris Taylor has announced record fundraising for next year's election. This week, Judge Taylor's campaign announced it has raised nearly $584,000 with nearly 4,800 contributions from all 72 Wisconsin counties during the first fundraising period of the campaign. That mark is significantly higher than the roughly $460,000 raised by Justice-elect Susan Crawford's campaign through this point last year. The Universities of Wisconsin will raise their undergraduate tuition for state residents following the approval of the plan by the Board of Regents on Thursday. The new plan released on Tuesday covers a 4% increase in tuition across the entire system and allows schools to add another 1% to their tuition rates. Officials say the tuition hikes are expected to generate nearly $50 million in additional revenue. Campuses in Northwest Wisconsin will see tuition range from $9,200 in Superior to over $10,000 in Eau Claire. The Duluth Seaway Port Authority has announced that the CHS Superior Terminal will cease operations in September. According to CHS officials, 23 employees at the shipping terminal will be laid off when it officially closes on September 8th. The shipping terminal stores and ships about 20 million bushels of grain each year. In a statement, Duluth Seaway Port Authority officials said they were disappointed in the company's decision to cease operations and would be working with the City of Superior to find another solution for continued use of the terminal. Ashland County officials say over 300 community members participated in their annual Clean Sweeps Hazardous Materials Collection event. According to a press release, volunteers at the event managed to assist the over 300 community members dispose of thousands of pounds of hazardous materials like old oil, antifreeze, and batteries in less than 4 hours. They also said the turnout for the event was about twice as high compared to last year, thanks to a new opportunity to dispose of items like appliances and other electronics. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mariska Hargitay has experienced an almost unprecedented run as an actor on the show Law & Order Special Victims Unit. And now she has a director's credit as well. She is the creative force behind a documentary about her late mother, Jane Mansfield, called My Mom Jane. The Hollywood Reporter is now saying the documentary will be eligible for the Oscars since it's been revealed that it had a short theatrical run at a North Hollywood movie theater last week. My Mom Jane is available to stream on HBO and is getting very good reviews. Sarah Jessica Parker feels she had to defend herself for not endorsing a political candidate publicly. The And Just Like That and Sex and the City star told Nicole Wallace on her podcast she didn't believe social media was the place for quick political conversations. To her credit, Parker says she's not going to go into an argument unless she is totally educated on an issue. Imagine that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Showers and some thunderstorms possible this afternoon and throughout this evening. It may pack some gusty winds and heavy downpours, which could create flash flooding. Around a half an inch of rain is likely, but up to a couple of inches is possible. Highs today and tomorrow flirt with 80 degrees and soar to the mid-80s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday, we'll put a focus on Green Bay goings-on. We'll chat with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and preview the Jane Mattenair Todd Alba tour of Wisconsin.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Patel and Dan Bongino. They're not helping make heaven a place on earth at all whatsoever. In fact, every day they're in charge of the FBI makes us all less safe. Why? Because they waste our time and money polygraphing people about whether or not they've made fun of them within the FBI. And who hasn't made fun of their bosses, especially if your bosses spent nearly the entirety of the prior decade deriding you? The agency that you work for, your work, your life's purpose, your integrity. Of course, your employees are going to talk smack about you. You talked smack about them for almost 10 years. It's just so frustrating.
And every moment, Maggie, that those supervisory special agents are on polygraphs, you know what they're not doing?
Yeah,
they're not
real
back
work.
At the real work, right? They're not out there investigating things that could compromise their safety and security. They're not talking to witnesses. They're not developing documents, photographs, all kinds of things. They're not examining phones. They're
doing the work. We need the FBI to do their actual job, not be wasting and pushing people out of senior leadership. 40% of senior FBI field office leadership pushed out, apparently. Not spending our resources worried about the thin skin and the way the public perceives Cash Patel and Dan Bongino. Gentlemen, you did yourselves a disservice for the past decade. Don't get ticked off because people are calling you on it within the agencies that you now purport to run. Though who knows how much work Cash Patel is actually doing. It's apparently a subject of some debate. Let's go to the phones. You want to get your 2 cents in? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. And while you've got the phone in your hand, you might as well text in the free Ticket Friday word to win this hour, which is GAME, G-A-M-E. You text that in via the Civic Media app. You will be entered to win some tickets to the Brewers Nationals game this Sunday, July 13th at 1:10 p.m. Who knows? The Brewers could be leading the division. Let's go to the phones. Get your texts in. You got to get them in before the hour tolls 5 p.m. this afternoon. David from San Francisco, thank you, sir, for your patience. Say hello to Jim. What would you like to say this afternoon?
Hey, David.
Oh, hi, Maggie. Jim. Yeah, I was actually interested more in mandamus, but it's funny, as you're talking about the FBI doing these so-called investigations, it reminds me of Joe McCarthy. And there's a book called Days of Shame. It was written by a Senator Potter from up in Michigan. And if you get a chance to read it, it pretty much describes how Joe McCarthy had kind of more criminal intent, and that he was trying to sabotage the workings of the government, not unlike what Joe McCarthy or what Donald Trump and Roy Cohn's, Roy Cohn's apprentice, Donald Trump, is doing. And it had to do with they would come up with fake investigations. Every time Joe McCarthy would hold up a blank piece of paper saying there's commies here, there's commies there, they would create a fake investigation, and they would hire their own staff of creeps, of saboteurs, of organized crime figures, bad lawyers, whatever, and they would give them security clearance to investigate. And so it was like a jobs program for these loyalists, saboteurs. Yeah, well, you call them loyalists. I call them saboteurs. And
your word's and more so, accurate, David.
Yeah, and so if you get a chance to read this book, Days of Shame, you can find it. It came out in the early 60s because this Senator Potter was sitting shoulder to shoulder with Joe McCarthy and just disgusted at him. But I was interested in mandamus, and if I understand right, mandamus is when the public is aware that an agency is not doing their job. And they call for whether it's a federal inspector to force the jobs to be done. And I'm thinking of Christy Noem, for example, looking at her portrait for 3 days rather than helping out in the disaster down in Texas. Whether or not we can use mandamus as a technique for forcing the government to actually do some honest duties, as opposed to sabotaging and milking the budget for their own personal gain.
Yeah, David, great question. Folks, a writ of mandamus, just in the usual and ordinary course of which we have very little of these days, is you sue for one of these if a court or it orders one. It basically directs a public official to do their particular duties, tasks as statutorily or otherwise defined. This kind of stuff ain't susceptible to that in large part. It sort of exists in this gray area, does it not, Jim?
Right.
Though I will say, when it comes to asylum hearings and other hearings, I know that there have been some lawyers successfully pushing writs of mandamus in those contexts to specifically request and get a particular hearing or to have them scheduled, that sort of thing. It usually very narrow in scope.
Right. The obligation is very clear statutorily in terms of regulations, and this person needs to be directed to do their job, Your Honor, that sort of thing. I would offer, David, that, again, your sentiment, though, is not misdirected here. There's another entity, and they're throughout the departments all across the board, the offices of the inspectors general. There's one inside the Department of Justice. Many of them, yes, have also been compromised by this administration. They've been fired. They've been, again, told not to do their jobs. The Office of the Inspector General inside of the Department of Justice is still there. And there is a situation where, again, they're supposed to look at these kinds of things, as Maggie said at the top of the hour. Fraud, waste, and abuse, waste of time, abuse of the process, fraud in terms of the premise for all this. The inspector general, frankly, should be opening today,
all
yesterday, tomorrow, an investigation saying, what are we doing here? Why is this in support of the FBI mission, the Department of Justice mission? And yes, it takes time, but 6 months from now, if it takes that long, coming out with a report that condemns this. And so there can perhaps be some of the kinds of remedies, David, that you're proposing. That's
the
one
IG
possibility.
Should be all over Emil Bove and these allegations by this whistleblower. Not just that Emil Bove was actively and openly flouting court orders, encouraging others to do so, but there are allegations from this very whistleblower that indicate that Emil Bove may have been suggesting or directing individuals, lawyers within the Department of Justice to misrepresent the evidence that the DOJ had against Mr. Kilmar Abrego Garcia. And again, you'll remember that there was this lawyer that stood up in a courtroom and when asked some specific questions by Judge Boasberg, or I believe it's Boasberg, was that
it could be Zinnes, one of the right. They've all had the same experiences.
Boasberg or Zinnes,
right,
yes.
Right.
And basically candidly said, we're not sure exactly what happened, or yes, there aren't planes in the air yet. And that person is this very individual who has become a whistleblower. So, by the way, I just want to say this about Emil Bove. It is not a liberal left-wing freak out about Donald Trump trying to nominate Emil Bove, or Bove, I'm not sure how you say his last name, to a federal appeals court. It is the Federalist Society. It is very good faith conservatives that think this guy would be an absolute abomination. This may very well prove to be a line in the sand for a lot of conservative lawyers and the Federalist Society membership. They are probably more freaked out about this than a lot of liberals are. Let's go to the phones here, Jim.
Yes.
Whistler's been very patient. Whistler, welcome back. Say hi to Jim. What you got for us?
Hey, Whistler.
Hey, Jim. Maggie, I'll tell you what, guys. You know, this crap with the way the FBI is set up, it was bound to fail. And if it's not failing now, it sure as hell going to quickly.
Yeah, I hear you, Whistler. It's like you put clowns in charge of an organization, you're going to get a clown show, Jim.
And it doesn't happen overnight, meaning tomorrow morning. It is bit by bit, and all of a sudden you wake up on some morning, you come in on Monday morning, and 40% of your staff is no longer there, and you suddenly realize you cannot do your job anymore. It's the slow drip. It's the frog boiling experiment, right? And bit by bit, it comes away.
Yeah, even for the 60% of field office FBI leadership that still may be around, you think people are more or less likely to bring points of disagreement and concerns over what's occurring or a particular investigation to their bosses? You think that's more or less likely? Do you think it's more or less likely that there are going to be candid conversations that are had about complex investigations and issues? That's what's happening. When you see this kind of thing, folks, this is actual weaponization, right? This is an actual witch hunt where personal loyalties and political enemies lists end up deciding whom law enforcement goes after. It's a complete abomination.
Chilling dramatically, these folks from coming forward and saying, you know what, let's think about how we charge, when we charge, how should we do this? How should we execute a warrant? That sort of thing. You need to have not always dissenting voices, but you welcome those dissenting voices because they make you measure the strength of your own position. That's what you lose when you chill people from coming forward.
Pat from Milwaukee, say hi to Jim. What you got for us?
Hey, Pat.
Well, Maggie and Jim, what we're witnessing in Washington right now is what happens when little minds are overwhelmed by their egos. They are, these people become irony challenged. They have no sense of how they appear in front of others or how their actions and words are so silly and stupid. They lose all perspective. And that's what we've witnessed, I think, in Patel and this other idiot, Bongino. And in so many cases of course, Trump is the classic example. He's all ego and nothing else. But that's what
I hear you, Pat. Again, the idea that they would be surprised or alarmed that leadership within the FBI would have some negative things to say about either or both of Mr. Bongino or Mr. Patel after they spent nearly a decade attacking the integrity, attacking the work, and attacking the agency and every single person in it is stupid, a waste of time, and deeply concerning.
And you know, Pat, if you really had somebody who didn't had other qualities, you know what that person would do? They'd come and say, you know, I've been here a week. I suddenly recognize some humility. I suddenly recognize, you know what? You folks are great. You're not perfect, but you're doing a wonderful job here. And I am sorry for saying all those things about you. You know how that endears you to the staff? If you acknowledge you've been wrong in the past and you want to be supportive in the future, would these folks ever do it? To your point, Pat, absolutely not. They don't have the integrity to do it.
CJ, say hi to Jim, what you got for us this afternoon?
Hey, Jim and Maggie, thanks for taking my call. You know, I listen to your show all the time. Jim, Saturday's amicus. It's supposed to mean unbiased.
Well, actually, it means friend. It means friend. Amicus curiae means friend of the court.
Yeah. Okay, well, then take a look from both sides, because I'm going to give you an example of weaponization already that's happened in the FBI. And Cash Patel is there to clean house.
It's just not true, CJ. The man wrote an enemies list and published it in a book. Just not true. If CJ agrees to answer some questions for me when we come back, we may take
more
of his call on the other side. Otherwise, phone lines are open. And don't forget that word to win on Free Ticket Friday. It's good until the top of the hour. It's GAME, G-A-M-E. Text that in via the Civic Media app and get registered to win some Brewers tickets to this Sunday's game against the Nationals. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Never-Clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the Recombobulation Area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Baby, can't you see? Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about reports from the New York Times that FBI Director Kash Patel and Deputy Director Dan Bongino, who spent the last decade deriding the FBI and everybody that works there and basically calling them liars and cheats and people with no integrity, they're putting people that work at the FBI on polygraphs to see if they've said anything mean about them, which is dumb and a waste of time and likely fraudulent. Jim, we're getting more breaking news. FBI Director Kash Patel is considering joining Dan Bongino in resigning. I think that that's more about the Epstein files than it is anything else. And I want to make this general observation, Jim. I have watched commentators from both the right and the left. I've consumed a lot of opinion commentary, a lot of talk radio, a lot of TV commentary. Most folks that do what Cash Patel and Dan Bongino have done, which is criticizing from the sidelines, have no freaking idea what it is to actually do any of these jobs. And boy, have both of these gentlemen gotten a taste of it. Mm-hmm. It is much harder than it looks. You don't get to fire people simply because they don't like you, or at least you shouldn't be able to do that. I'm unsurprised that every single one of these clowns that have been nominated to these positions have created clown shows, and I'm including Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. I mean, you talk about leadership problems over there. Those are legend now as well. These guys have no idea how to run any of these agencies. They weren't picked because they had competence. They were picked because they swore a personal loyalty pledge to Donald Trump and would do whatever he wanted. And politicize these departments that are not supposed to be political.
And they walk in on day one, and they suddenly realize that, in fact, these are competent agencies for the most part. You've got people who are committed to these missions. They're required to do all kinds of things that they never, ever knew about at all. Missions and purposes and goals that they've never been exposed to in their lives. And they recognize probably intellectually that they've been wrong, but cannot possibly say that publicly because that would suggest that what they said before was in fact wrong. The learning curve is not one that they can embrace in any way. And so are we surprised that after just a few months they say, hey, and maybe they identify some reason to be frustrated, but in fact, they never understood the job. They never understood the entities to begin with.
They have absolutely no interest in what actually happens. All these people are interested in is parroting the talking points of Donald Trump and his political apparatus of the MAGA party. And speaking of people that only can trumpet the same talking points over and over and over again, during the break, I asked my producer to chat with CJ, who's a conservative who calls into this program, and ask him if he will talk about what is happening today, not what happened yesterday. And CJ said, no, he won't be put in a box. Well, CJ, you're not the host of this program. And I just want to say this. CJ asked my producer to pass along to me, why don't you talk about the investigations into John Brennan and James Comey? These are the former directors of the CIA and the FBI. First of all, CJ, James Comey handed your man the election back in 2016. He broke longstanding FBI internal rules and came out and talked about Hillary Clinton's emails. And by the way, John Brennan and James Comey were investigated for years during Trump 1 by none other than John Durham, who has wasted, you want to talk about fraud, waste, and abuse? That man has blown through so many millions of taxpayer dollars pursuing fruitless investigations that have yielded nothing, that came up with a what I'm going to call a fantasy novel of a report. The three prosecutions that John Durham tried to push forward, two ended in acquittals and one ended in a low-level plea, which involves someone that wasn't central to all of this. Right. So the Trump DOJ politicized and weaponized, reinventing yet another investigation that's already been investigated, CJ, ain't news. What it is abuse of power. Raw, unadulterated abuse of power. Jeannie from Eau Claire, say hi to Jim. What you got for us this afternoon?
Hey, Jeannie.
Hi, guys. I just want to say I'm really looking forward to tomorrow at 9 to 11. I haven't missed one Saturday. And I want to say that you do a great job. You have honesty and integrity, and you are teaching us a lot of new things, and you are not biased. I've never had an instructor who was unbiased as you are. Both of you people, you're outstanding, and we're golding lucky to have you talking about these issues to us, because you are very helpful and honest, and keep up the great work. That's all I got to say today. Keep it up. Bye.
What nice words, Jeannie. And you know, part of that comes from the fact that Maggie and I are both come from government backgrounds, where the notion of being honest, even about the bad stuff, the stuff that's not attractive, that's a part of the job, too. And you've got to be honest with your staff. You've got to be honest with the public. And you come forward and you say, listen, we've made mistakes. Let's remedy those. That's the integrity you want in government officials. I will say, in modesty, I think both my colleague Maggie Dawn and many of my colleagues fall into just that category. When you get people who don't understand that, you get the Dan Bonginos and the Cash Patels.
Sources close to Dan Bongino says he will not stay at the FBI if Pam Bondi isn't removed as attorney general. This is the kind of crap. Like, it's so inappropriate. Again, people have good faith disagreements all the time. One has to ask, why did Pam Bondi say that she had a client list on her desk and was about to review it? And then, you know, like a month later say, never mind. Why does Donald Trump want the Epstein files ignored? And I say, who's ever in them? Democrat or Republican? Gross. You're just gross. Folks, that's going to do it for Jim and I. I'm going to be back after the top of the hour with Greg Gunderson talking about what's going on in your neck of the woods. You got a few minutes left, some seconds left. Text in the word game on the Civic Media app and potentially win a couple of tickets to this Sunday's Brewer game against the Nationals. Folks, thanks for participating in this great conversation and keep it locked. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Thanks, Maggie.
Is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump and the First Lady getting a firsthand look today at the damage in Texas following last week's flash flooding. At a briefing, the president credited local and state officials. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
The president heaping praise on Texas Governor Abbott, and he had also spent the day earlier touring the damage, and the president saying that he had never seen anything like that, nothing like the scale of the destruction that he saw in Texas. The president also acknowledged that this is a time where the community, where the nation, is mourning. He talked about visiting some of the grieving families and saying that this is to honor those whose lives were lost.
At least 121 have died and 160 others are still missing. The State Department today laid off nearly 1,300 civil workers and 240 service officers based in the U.S. Word today, David Gergen has died. The veteran Washington inside figure served as a top advisor to presidents of both parties. This is ABC News.